Your Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter 1, and when you get there, put a finger or a marker or something, a pen there, and flip over to Revelation chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 19. Blessing to have folks visiting with us today. I went to a church in Salt Lake City, Utah for a number of years, and the pastor would stand up and he would mispronounce names. And I thought to myself, if I was the pastor, I'd pronounce those names right. Yeah. Well, so if I mispronounce your name, I apologize, but I think I can come close here. It's good to have with us this morning Leonardo Rodriguez. Raise your hand if you would, please. Good to have you here today. The Kuhn family, if you folks would raise your hands, good to have you with us today. And Dantes Guido, is that right? Good to have you here, amen. And some other folks visiting, I don't have a card for you, but we are sure glad you're here. And we prayed that we would have visitors today, and thank you for being an answer to prayer. Revelation 18 is the record of an event that we often think about, we pray for it, we look forward to it. Some things are going to happen between now and then. This is not going to happen tomorrow because there's a 7-year period of tribulation and 1,000 years after this that he's going to reign. But I'm looking at a couple of things in Revelation 19. Look at verse 11. He says, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron and fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 1. Do you have the right king? Amen. I hope you do. Each of us follow some authority, some leading, something guides us. A lot of folks are driven by passions or by desires or by things that they seek. There are some people that are driven by something better than that, a higher calling, you might say. They're driven by the Lord. We do not hop on a bus in 120-degree temperatures and go out and pick up children because it's easy. We do it because the Lord asks us to. We do not send missionaries to the four corners of the earth, where we have missionaries out of this church in places like Iraq. Baghdad. And we have missionaries out of our church that are in different continents where it's not easy. But why would someone do something difficult like that? Because they have a king and the king sends them. I hope you have the right king. In 1 Kings chapter 1, the story we've been looking at for the last couple of weeks, and we're going to finish it up today, there are some people that wanted to be king, one in particular, a man named Adonijah. He thought he deserved to be the king. He was the eldest son. Well, he was the eldest surviving son of David. And he had some allies, some people that had some self-interests that he could facilitate. There was one man named Joab, for example. He thought, this man could be a help to me, and I could be a help to him. And so they teamed up, and this man, Adonijah, decided he wanted to be the king. And he did what he could to get folks to follow him. Today, when you see what's going to happen here, it's all going to come crashing down. Between the middle of the chapter and the end of the chapter, what happens is Adonijah changes from being what looks like a king to fleeing for his life, and ultimately to death, you'll see in the next chapter, where his sin cost him his life. I hope you have the right king. There are some wannabe kings out there. There are some things that would like to rule you, and they would offer you some benefits in return, and they're appealing to some people. And you know, some people serve money, some people serve pleasure, some people serve all sorts of things. Hope you have the right king. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read a few of these verses in 1 Kings chapter 1, have a word of prayer, and look at recognizing the proper king. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 1, beginning in verse 32, King David said, "Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada." And they came before the king. The king also said unto them, "Take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule, and bring him down to Gihon. And let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel. And blow ye the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we assemble before you now and we're in awe. We are astonished at the things that you do that we do not deserve. God, you sent your son to die on the cross to pay for our sins, and not one of us deserved anything less than hell. But the Bible says Christ died for us because you loved the world and sent him. And that if we'll believe on him and trust him to be the payment for our sins, the Bible says that we have eternal life, something that can never be taken away from us. And that very same Savior that died on the cross is going to return on a white horse in Revelation 19, wearing a vesture dipped in blood to remind us of the sacrifice he made for us. And he's going to come and he's going to destroy all the pretenders and all those that are following false kings and false reasons and false rulers. And he's going to establish his kingdom. He's going to rule for 1,000 years and then he's going to rule for all eternity. God, this morning, help us to see a few things here that might speak to us, that might change us, that might open our eyes. And I pray that if there's one here that doesn't have the Lord Jesus Christ in the right place in their life, if they've got the wrong king, I pray today they would make that change. God, we need you now. We cannot do anything without you. Holy Spirit, we pray you would meet with us, move amongst us, and use the word of God to convict us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are a lot of things in this passage that remind us of the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon was a king whose reign was unsurpassed. Solomon was the richest man that ever lived, the wisest man that ever lived. He ruled over Israel in a time of peace because David, his father, had defeated the enemies of Israel. His kingdom truly was a paradise. And folks, just as Solomon is unsurpassed, please believe me, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has a kingdom that will be unsurpassed. There's no kingdom like it, and there never will be. And when you think about things like riches and wisdom, certainly the Lord Jesus Christ fits that description. The crowning of Solomon is delayed, almost, it seems, stolen by someone else. And then after the delay, the proper king is put in place. And you and I live in a time right now to where the devil, for example, if I can be so bold, would be the one that wants to be the ruler in people's lives, and the things that the devil offers certainly appeal to some people, and sin and so forth. And there are pretenders right now. And it seems like if you look around, if you listen to the radio or watch the TV or read a magazine or a newspaper or talk to folks, it doesn't look like Jesus is the king. One day it will. The passage in that we're looking at this morning is the correction from what wasn't supposed to be to what was supposed to be. And folks, one day God's going to set things straight. No doubt about that. So just like Solomon's reign was delayed, the Lord Jesus Christ's reign seems to be delayed. It looked like the wrong person had stolen the throne. But then, do you remember what happened when Jesus rode into Jerusalem? The prophet spoke about it. He rode in on a mule, on a donkey. And the same thing happens here. There's some Middle Eastern culture involved there that's not that important, but it was a symbol. The fact is, Solomon was made king at a place called Gihon, and the Lord's going to enter the very same place. You don't need to turn there, but Zechariah 14 describes that. Gihon, if you don't know, is at the base of the Mount of Olives, the very same place where the Lord Jesus Christ prayed and right before he was crucified. And it is, right now, there's a gate there. It's called the Eastern Gate, and it is sealed up. And then the Arabs have put graves outside that gate with the idea of keeping a king out, because a king wouldn't defile himself by walking across a grave. But folks, one day Jesus is going to raise those people that are dead, and he's going to split that mountain wide open and walk right through that gate, and he's going to rule in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. There was a false king. He had guests. There was a true king, and he's about to be crowned, and someday very soon, the Lord Jesus Christ will be crowned. You might remember that God commanded us even to pray, even so, come Lord Jesus, to pray, thy kingdom come. I'm praying for Christ to come back. Amen. I'm so tired of seeing the suffering in the world. The children that suffer, the people that suffer, the horrible things that take place, the injustice that goes undisturbed, it seems like, and the wicked things, the abortion and the idolatry and all the things that are opposed to God, I pray God would come back and set those straight. And he will. So there's just four things I want to show you this morning. This won't take very long. Four things that are going to happen regarding the crowning of the king. It's the very same four things that happened for the crowning of King Solomon. And first of all, I want you to know that the crowning of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like the crowning of King Solomon, is inevitable. It is certain news. It will take place. If you've got the right king and you are anxious for him to come and set things straight, folks, it's going to happen. It could happen today. We don't know. He's going to come back, though. He's going to take us to be with him, and then he's going to set things straight. Look, if you will, in 1 Kings chapter 1 once again. And let's remind ourselves of this man named David. David is the authority. He's a picture of God the Father to some extent in this setting. And David in verse 32 says, call me Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. And the king said unto them, take with you the servants of your Lord. Cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule. Bring him to Gihon. He says in verse 34, anoint him their king over Israel. And folks, when David said it, that settled it. When God says it, that settles it. God has declared the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the king. There's nothing Satan can do to stop it. There's nothing anybody here can do to stop it. There's nothing the world can do to stop it. Folks can riot and throw fits and do all they want to do like they're doing right now. One day, Jesus is going to be the king over the entire world. For 1,000 years, literally, this world, and when he does so, a lot of the things you see right now aren't going to be tolerated anymore. I'm going to stay away from the rabbit trail called government, so let's just move on. So there's an inevitable reign coming. Jesus will be the king. Are you following him today? I want you to know if you are, you're following the right king. Have you given your life to him? Do you live for him? Do you serve him? Do you desire to please him? If so, you got the right king. It may not look like it now. The world may not look like it, and the media may not demonstrate it, and people around you may not act like it. And there are people all the time that have the opportunity and choose to serve something else. If you've chosen to serve King Jesus, you've made the right choice, because his reign is inevitable. He is coming back. And as the bulletin pointed out this morning, he's going to reward every man according to their labor. Now, it's certain news. We know he's coming back. But even so, for some people, it's going to be surprising. And see the picture here. You have some folks that tried to steal the kingdom, and they're celebrating and they're feasting and they're enjoying what they think is their success. And then, just like that, everything changes. Watch the story here. Read with me, if you will. Begin in verse 41. We've got the preceding verses to where, well, let's just read a little ahead of that. Let's look at verse 39. Zadok the priest took an horn of oil out of the tabernacle, anointed Solomon. They blew the trumpet. All the people said, God save King Solomon. Verse 40, and all the people came up after him. And the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy. There it is again, Mr. Dahlman. I think there's something to be to rejoice about. You ever get discouraged? Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to that. He can encourage you. He can give you joy. You get about half excited when you think about it. We sing the song, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Our sins are paid for. Say, Pastor, what about that sin? No, our sins are paid for. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior. Folks, you have, if you're a born-again Christian, you have a home in heaven for all eternity. Amen. Nothing can take that away from you. You can't take it away. Nobody else can. No pretending king, no devil, nothing can take that away. That's something to get excited about. Some folks are going to be surprised. The people in verse 40 piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy. So the earth rent with the sound of them. Now, these people here are the people following the right king. A lot of people make a lot of noise today, don't they? Rioting and throwing a fit and breaking windows and upset because they didn't get their way or something happened that conflicted with their cause. And I just want you to know, the Bible saw this coming. When you take God out of something, violence takes his place. You know, it's getting to where anymore, you're not sure where it's going to happen next. People beating up flight attendants on airplanes. Good night. The things that we see, it's no longer, oh, there was a mass shooting this week. Now it's how many were there this weekend. And if folks can't find a gun, they'll use a car or whatever. And folks, I just wanted you to know, until the right king is in place, it's not going to get better. The Bible says evildoers will wax, become worse and worse. Someone says, well, the government can fix that. Let's think about that. Why am I on this rabbit trail? 200 years, our government has had 200 years. I got to ask you, is it gotten better or gotten worse? They've had 200 years or more to fix it. It seems to me like if the government could fix it, they'd have fixed it by now, wouldn't it? It seems to me like if man was the answer, man would have found the answer. But folks, the very fact that the world is becoming a more and more wicked place and our nation is becoming a more and more wicked place is a demonstration we need the right king. We need the one that can take care of those things and fix it. It's going to surprise some folks. These people that are shouting in verse 40, these are the people following the right king. And where I was going with that is this. One day, the shout of God's people is going to drown out everything else because of who our king is. And now, when the right king comes onto the scene, look what happens in verse 41. Adonijah, he's the one that wanted to be the king. He's the wrong king. He's the pretending king. And the guests that were with him, because there were some folks following him, they heard it as they had made an end of eating. So they're having their feast and they're enjoying their success. And then they hear something. Why are all the people shouting? Wonder what's going on. What's going on is the right king is about to come on the scene. And the wrong king is about to be taken away. Joab, he's the general over the army, he heard the sound of the trumpet. He said, wherefore is the noise of the city being in an uproar? He didn't expect this. And while he yet spake, behold, Jonathan the son of Abiathar the priest came, and Adonijah said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man and bringest good tidings. And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. That wasn't what he wanted to hear. One of these days, the announcement will be made, verily, our God has made Jesus Christ the King. I'm looking forward to hearing that. Are you? Some people are going to be surprised. Some people had a different king. Some people had a different loyalty. Some people had it for following something else. And to them, this is not going to be good news. But it's good news to us. He's going to be the king. It is surprising to some, but it is wonderful to others. It's popular. In verse 44, the king has sent with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites. These are servants. And they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. And Zadok the priest, verse 45, and Nathan the prophet have anointed him king in Gihon. And they are come up from thence rejoicing. Ah, Mr. Dahlman, that is that word. And so that the city rang again. This is the noise that ye have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. And the people rejoiced. Be patient. The Lord's going to reign. And your joy is never going to end when he does, if you've got the right king. So you see, for some, certainly the news was certain, it was inevitable. It was going to happen. For some, it was conflicting. It was a surprise. They didn't expect this. For some, it was cheerful. It was popular, those that had the right king. But then there is a sad fourth thing that happens when the right king is crowned, recognized, chosen. For some, it's going to be disastrous. Look what happens here in verse 49. The guests that were with Adonijah were afraid. Listen to me. The time to be afraid you have the wrong king is not when the right king shows up. It's right now. If you got the wrong king, change sides. Amen? If you're following the wrong king, turn your back on him and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you following in your life? Who is your king? Who is your authority? Who is your guide? Who is your leader? Who is the one that rules in your life? That rules not just occasionally on Sunday mornings perhaps or once in a while, but every single moment of your life. Who's in charge? If you got the wrong king, turn your back on him because a day is coming when it will be too late. And that's what's happening to these folks. There's a disaster in the offing. Adonijah and his guests were afraid. They rose up and they went every man his way. All of a sudden, they had been following the wrong king and they realized he's not the one. And now they just scattered. Look at verse 50. Adonijah feared because of Solomon. You know, we could spend a lot of time there, but I won't. But I will mention this. We should respect the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with the word fear. I think it's appropriate when someone is able to create the world with a word. And when someone is able... I like the story that comes to my mind is when the king sent a bunch of soldiers, 50 of them, and he sent them to take Elijah. Said, we're going to have Elijah come meet with the king. And so 50 soldiers came and they stood before Elijah. And the ruler of the soldiers, the leader says, Elijah, come see the king. And the Bible says Elijah called fire down from heaven and consumed all 50 of them. Happened a second time. Here come 50 more. Fire from heaven, consume them all. The third time, the fellow says, he's got a little different attitude. Don't be offended. We're just here because the king sent us. Would you please come see the king? I think those folks were afraid because they saw what God could do. Have you seen what God can do? Amen. Folks, God will give you space to repent. He will give you more space than you deserve. But there is a time when everyone is going to stand before God. And we've read stories in the Bible of what happens when they've chosen the wrong king and where they'll spend eternity. I would be afraid of a God that could send me to hell. I love the God that sent his son to die and pay for my sins. But there's still something to fear. No, they've chosen the wrong king. They should be afraid. Adonijah's afraid in verse 50 because Solomon arose. And so he goes and catches the horns of the altar. He's trying to be delivered. And in verse 51, it was told Solomon, saying, "Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. Lo, he hath caught hold of the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with the sword." His attitude's kind of changed, hadn't it? About 20 verses ago, he was going to be the king. He was going to be in charge. He was going to be it. All of a sudden, he's submitted to the real king. There'll be a day when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to rule and reign, and if you haven't chosen him now, you'll wish you had. And you'll seek his mercy then, and we read about that elsewhere in the Bible. I won't get into that. Solomon, in verse 52, we're almost done, he says, "If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth. But if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die." I haven't got to read very deep into that verse to see the gospel. Because you see, the Bible says in Romans, all have sinned. A lady said to me one time, she said, "You don't think I'm a sinner, do you?" I said, "Ma'am, I'm a sinner. All have sinned. Who in the world would think they hadn't? You're supposed to love God with all your heart. Of course we're all sinners. Folks, there is wickedness in all of us. The Bible says we were conceived in sin and that we chose sin. And by nature, we are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. What do you see in this verse right here? It says, if wickedness shall be found in him, he shall die. That's bad news. Because in our natural state, we all deserve hell. Lady in Durango, Colorado, she was one of these folks back, this was 50 years ago, that had sold so much Avon, she drove a pink Cadillac. And they used to give a car to somebody that sold enough of their product, and she drove a pink Cadillac, and she was very successful and very respected and very busy. And she told the pastor in town, she said, "I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever." But she wasn't saved, she just thought she was going to live forever. Anybody with any common sense knows, hadn't happened yet, you're not likely to be the first. But more than that, listen to me, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you've never sinned, you will live forever, but you know, everybody dies because everyone has sinned. So if everyone has sinned and the wages of sin is death, and death and hell at the end of the Bible are cast into a lake of fire, what's the answer? It's right here in this verse. Look at it, if you will, in verse 52. If he will show himself a worthy man. That's interesting. Now, how can you and I, who are unworthy of God's blessings and of God's rewards and of eternity in heaven, we are worthy of hell. How can you and I that are unworthy be made worthy? Something's got to happen, doesn't it? The Lord Jesus Christ can make you worthy by giving you his worth and taking your sin upon him. And there is no other way. You say, "Pastor, I'm going to reform myself. I'm going to stop sinning." You liar, you will not. You couldn't if you put every ounce of effort into that, you would fail miserably. Well, I can do better. Next time a policeman stops you for breaking the law, you ran a stop sign or you were speeding or... That never happened to me, but Mr. Mendez, you know, so I... Yeah. Tell that policeman, "I'll never do it again." Yeah. Two problems. Number one, you will. And number two, what about what you've already done? "Son, that's good. I'm glad you won't ever do this again. Here's your ticket. Go to the court and pay the fine because you are punished for breaking the law." So even if you could reform yourself, what about the sin you've already committed? Well, I got good news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ took that sin upon him. And if you will ask him to, he'll give you his righteousness. If you've done that, say amen.
Amen.
That's a good reason for joy. That's what saves lives. That's why Christ died. If you got the right king, you got a right eternity. And when you got saved, you didn't just say, I don't want to go to hell. What you said was, I want the right king. I got a verse for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now listen to this, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon, listen to this, the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, did you notice at the beginning of the message in Revelation 19, what was the title on his vesture? King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because it's the same thing. Who your king is who your Lord is. That's who your God is. Folks, he's our God. And when you acknowledge him as the rightful God in your life, he'll make everything different. You can look at this story from two sides. You can look at it from the encouraging, the happy side. It looked like the wrong king was going to rule, but the right king came instead. It looked like the enemy was going to win, but God won. It looked like things weren't going to go the way David wanted them to, but they went exactly the way he said they should. Solomon became the king. And Christ will be the king for all eternity. You saw it in Revelation 19. The good news is those of us that have chosen him as our king, you're on the right side. And you got a good eternity waiting for you. And between now and then, you've got a good life waiting for you. Because when you let him be your king, he'll do things you couldn't do. He'll make changes in your life you couldn't make. His Holy Spirit will come and dwell in you and make you different. Does the Holy Spirit live in your heart? If you have him as your king, he does. The sad side of this story is there were some people and they were wrong. They thought, we're going to follow Adonijah. Adonijah is going to help us out. He's going to be our king. And it looked really good for a little while. And suddenly they were fleeing for their life. Because in a moment, everything changed. And there are some people in this world, and they think that they're following something that's going to work out okay, and it looks pretty good for a little while. And then for all eternity, they're going to realize they were wrong. That's why the Holy Spirit calls and says to you, you need to accept Christ. You need to let him be your king. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Because when you got the right king, it's a restful place to be. I hope you have the right king. Because one day, King Jesus is going to come back and he's going to rule for all eternity. And if you have the right king, you're going to rule with him. And if you have the wrong king, it'll be too late to do anything about it. Let's all stand and pray.